So this morning's reading is from John chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 5. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," said the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Sheila and for the gifts that you have given her. We thank you for the way that she is able to read and interpret scripture and convey it to us. We thank you, Lord, that you, the living word, are alive in her. And we pray that you would help her as she speaks this morning. Give her the strength she needs in her voice. And Lord, through your spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. I have sweets in my pocket and a drink here, all right, in case I cough. But what a wonderful story that is, isn't it? And as Phil says, we're starting a new series today about people encountering Jesus. And the woman of Samaria certainly encountered Jesus that day, didn't she? She wasn't expecting it, but wow, it changed her life. She'd just come to draw water at a time when no one was around because she was not too popular. Jesus had an amazing way, didn't he, of breaking through barriers. You know, today we're often told, aren't we, that we have to be politically correct in what we do and what we say. We have to call things certain things, and so it goes on. I was reading a commentary on John 4, and the writer said that he loves the way that Jesus just ignores all the social barriers that people erect between themselves. The society of that time was a very structured society, and it had many, many rules. And you know, Jesus, if you read the chapter before, had just finished speaking with Nicodemus, a Jewish male and a highly learned teacher, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, a person of considerable repute and authority, it said. And here he was, talking with a Samaritan woman. You see, the Jews at that time, as I'm sure you know, had nothing to do with Samaritans. They were enemies. The cause went back hundreds of years, as these things often do, don't they? I wonder how many people really knew why this was happening at that time. But also written in their laws was this: to talk with a woman was a taboo. The law said one should not talk with a woman on the street, not even his own wife, and certainly not someone else's wife, because of the gossip of men. And it also said, it is forbidden to give a woman any greeting. So here's Jesus breaking all the rules. Not very PC that day, was he? And what's more, this was an uneducated woman, because that's how it was. Women were shut out of education, and sadly that's still happening, isn't it, in a lot of countries today. But also, this was a woman whose lifestyle was not good or accepted. Five marriages is a lot anywhere, isn't it? Let alone in that small country place in those days. Her lifestyle totally contradicted the law, so she was publicly despised and ostracized. Interesting to note the different people, isn't it, that Jesus encountered one after the other. Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria. But you know, they both needed that encounter. They both needed him. So Jesus was not going to allow social barriers or etiquette to stop him reaching both of them. He loves people, no matter who they are, what they are like, what they've done. He loves them and wants to reach them. It's interesting as well how he actually speaks to these two people. To Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And they start talking about babies. And then to the woman, he seems to launch into quite a deep theological discussion quite early on. Jesus had just asked her for a drink. And if we look at what happens then, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. What was that about? Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where will you get the living water? She didn't know what it was all about. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become to him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There's a lot in that, isn't there, that he said to this uneducated woman who hadn't met him before. They started talking about worship. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And at that point, in the midst of all this complicated conversation, she recognizes Jesus. It's very interesting, isn't it? The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to him, to you are he. They went an awfully long way in a very short time, a very short encounter. And you know, this was one of the first people who really knew who Jesus was. That was remarkable, wasn't it? This woman of low repute that everybody pushed away. She knew who Jesus was. Encountering Jesus, does it sound like the Jesus you would want to encounter? Who would break through everything to touch your life? Didn't matter who you were, what you'd done, he would have something for you. It certainly does to me. A saviour, a lord, a friend, someone who knows us through and through and will meet us just as we are today and where we are today. He knew what Nicodemus needed to hear that day. He knew how to help him sort out what he was trying to grasp. Who was Jesus? He knew this Samaritan woman. He knew the messes she had got into. And he just plunged straight in with her and overwhelmed her with his love and his respect and how he was given a dignity by speaking words like that to her. Now, she wasn't necessarily looking for him, but he found her and showed her love and respect and understanding in a way that possibly nobody else had ever done in her life. And as she was trying to sort all this out in her mind, she starts talking about the Messiah, the Christ. She really is getting it. Now, we didn't read the whole story this morning because there's another chunk to it. Please, if you don't know that story, read it, because I just find every time I read it, there's so much more in that story. But she did respond to that meeting. She didn't just listen and cast it aside. She responded. And, you know, she became one of the first evangelists. My commentary pointed out that she hadn't studied at Bible college. She doesn't address a stadium full of people with powerful oratory or go to a foreign land as a missionary. She just blabs about Jesus to the people around her in everyday life. You see, this woman didn't know systematic theology. She wasn't able to quote chapter and verse. She simply knew what she had experienced as she encountered Jesus, and she passed that on. She'd got to know him. I always think that she must have been very animated and fired up about him to get people listening to her in the first place. Remember, she was despised and ostracized. So they would probably have been a bit skeptical about what she was saying. Yet her experience of Jesus somehow got through to them. "Come and see for yourselves," she said to them. If we look further at a verse we didn't read this morning, it says, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay 2 more days, and because of his words, many more became believers. That's just amazing, isn't it? Many more became believers because of her testimony, because of the fact that she brought them to Jesus. And then they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." How about us? What can we take from this today for us? We've said Jesus wants to meet us as we are today. He wants to be our Saviour, our Lord, and our friend. I hope we know this. But some of us may struggle with knowing it in our heads and then allowing it to go really deep into our hearts. Allowing it to go deeper and deeper within us so that we really know him is what it's all about. Not just knowing it up here. You see, it's easy, isn't it, to know about Jesus? It's easier to listen to all the Bible stories and have them up here. But to get them to go right down inside us so we're living with it and really, really know him for ourselves, it's an extra step. And you see, a relationship is about knowing someone personally. Jesus wants to be there for us, but we have to meet him for ourselves. I remember many years ago when I became a Christian, that was what hit me. I'd been brought up in a Christian family. I'd been going to church since before I was born. And many of you here can probably say that. But actually, when I got into my teens, I realized that if I wanted to follow Jesus, I had to do it for me. I couldn't live on my parents' faith. I had to find my own. I had to decide whether I wanted to know Jesus personally. I'm so glad I decided I did, because, obviously I wouldn't be here today if I didn't. But he wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. If we already know him, then we just go on and on getting to know more, don't we? If we ever stop getting to know Jesus, we've we've come to an end, haven't we? There's always more and more about Jesus. He gave everything for us. I was thinking of an example of how to talk about going from here to here, you know, and I thought of two things. I'm going to use Phil first, because you always make fun of the vicar, don't you? You know, if Paul came in now and said to me, Phil's running down the main road in his robe, shouting, "Praise the Lord," and it's snowing on him, would I believe him? Well, I might, because it's Paul, but if it's somebody I didn't know, I might be a bit more sceptical. Do you know, the only way I would know whether Phil was doing that stupid thing, I hope he's not, is if I went and looked for myself. That's it. We all know about the Queen. We know lots about the Queen, don't we? We know lots about the royal family. I've even been to Buckingham Palace. Some of you may have been. I've seen her. But I don't know her. It's all up here. I don't know her. I don't have a relationship with her. You see, really encountering someone is very different from just hearing about them. You know, we don't hear any more about that woman of Samaria, but we know that her life will have been changed that day as she recognized Jesus, recognized his holiness, and responded to him. We do hear of Nicodemus again at the time of the crucifixion as he helped Jesus to take his body from the cross. He knew the truth. By that time, it had sunk into him, talking about babies. So do we know it? Have we got a testimony to share about an encounter with Jesus? It's worth thinking about that, isn't it? What's the latest encounter with Jesus you've had? We can talk about something that happened years ago, but are we encountering him day by day? Have we got a testimony of what he's doing for us today? I can testify that I couldn't speak yesterday for coughing, and I'm here preaching. I have encountered Jesus this morning as my colleagues have prayed for me. When we have encountered Jesus, our lives will be changed forever. I wouldn't like to live without knowing that I can encounter Jesus in every situation that I find myself. And I pray that that's true for you too. Amen.